This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Back here with the second hour of the Outdoors and Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting in the great outdoors, and we welcome your calls if it concerns fishing in the Chesapeake Bay, because we have on the hotline, the celebrity hotline, Mr. Butch Webb from Maryland Department of Natural Resources. Good morning, Butch.
Good morning.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. What's your title, Butch?
I'm the resident species project leader.
Resident species.
Right. That's the white perch and yellow perch catfishes that remain in the Chesapeake Bay there throughout their entire life. So they're not moving, so they're called the resident species.
They don't go anywhere, huh?
They're kind of like the resident geese around.
Gotcha. Are we up a little too early here this morning? It's not turkey season, so.
Oh, no. I'm up this early every morning. Riding in the truck
riding
to work about this time.
Yeah, drinking a cup of coffee and looking for deer, trying to keep from killing a deer on the road down there on the Eastern Shore.
Right.
I know.
They're everywhere.
Plenty of them out there. Yep. All right, so we're talking about white perch today. Maybe something else might come up, but we're going to focus on the white perch, I guess. Very favorite species of a lot of people on the Chesapeake Bay. Rockfish aren't biting. You break out the top and bottom rig and see if you can catch some perch.
That's right.
Yeah.
Most of the time, you're pretty successful.
Exactly. They don't fight as hard as a hardhead or a spot, but they eat a little bit better than most, and people like to catch them and eat them, and it's a very desirable, willing species that inhabits both fresh and tidal water. Yeah, fresh and tidal waters.
Yep. Yeah. Yes, they're in the reservoirs.
Yeah, we have schools and schools and schools of them in the reservoirs, and people focus on them there too. Do they tend to get a little bigger in the freshwater impoundments, Butch, than they do in the bay and the tributaries?
I don't think they really do.
No,
it all depends on what they have to eat.
I guess their
food supply as to how fast they're going to grow, how big they're going to get in any certain area.
Okay. Everybody talks early on in the spring, you know, they everybody is anticipating the perch run, the yellow perch run, then the white perch follow the yellow perch pretty much. How did it go this year?
Not so well.
Why?
Well, it's mainly the water temperatures stayed real low for a long time. On our survey on the Choptank River, we saw that when they did come in, they were spawning and leaving just as fast as they came in.
Mm-hmm.
They're
always going to spawn, but they may not run into the upper reaches of the creeks because, like they normally do. Sometimes they'll just pick a hole and they'll all spawn and leave.
They didn't go quite as far up the Choptank this year as what they normally do.
Right.
They didn't get the big run up at Red Bridges.
Right.
Where there's a pretty popular spot for fishing up there along the upper part of the Choptank up above Greensboro.
Yeah, I know. We caught a few up there, but they were like 5 inches long.
Right, that's typical for that region, too. You get one good run of the big fish that lasts for 2 or 3 days, and then everything else is small.
You got to hit it. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to hit it just right.
You got to hit it just right. Now, the Choptank isn't the only river they spawn, though.
Oh, no. They spawn in all the, you know, in the tributaries in the
Is the Choptank the most accessible? Is that why people concentrate on them in the Choptank, or are there other hot spots in the spring to fish those that perch run?
Oh, there's other places to go up on people up on Chester River and Nanticoke River. There's different spots up that way up towards Sharptown on the Nanticoke, and then on the Chester River, people are up around Southeast Creek and up that way.
But you never hear anything like Man, I was fishing in the sassafras and caught a big load of white perch. I mean, just don't hear it. Is that because they don't talk about it? It's just not a celebrated hot spot, or you know, just people don't fish there?
The sassafras probably doesn't have the amount of access to it as far as
exactly
shoreline fishing.
Yeah.
There's the bridge there at Georgetown, and
mm-hmm.
that's about it.
Mm-hmm. What about the lower shore?
Lower shore down around Pocomoke and down that way, the Wicomico, and they're all pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, there's little bridge crossings and stuff down in there where people can get, have that road access to
sure.
a lot of the creeks, upper parts of the
sure, creek. But the bulk of the white perch fishing that we hear about here is pretty much Caroline County up into Kent County a little bit, and that's pretty much it. I mean, Queen Anne's to some degree, but I mean, I think that's the heart of it, is it not?
Well, pretty much so. There is some fishing there at the Kent Narrows Bridge, which is pretty good, actually.
Right, that little pier there at the Kent Narrows Bridge. Which
you get underneath the Kent Narrows Bridge,
yeah.
by the old bridge. There's the walkway underneath there,
yeah.
where you can get down and cast along the pilings and with a little rattle trap or a beetle spin, twister tail grub or something like that.
Sure.
Yeah. Bounce it on the bottom there. And
good for yellow perch in there, too, in the spring, from what I understand.
There's a few. There.
Yeah, a few. And they get to be pretty good size. So, well, did I just reveal one of your secrets?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Yeah, I do go down underneath there, but
yeah,
it's no secret because I have plenty of company most of the time.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. Yeah. So, all right. Well, look, most people right now, if they want to catch white perch, they're going out on the bay. If they're not catching them on their own boats, or the charter boats don't really concentrate on them. I mean, some do. Some of the big party boats, head boats, concentrate on the perch. But the most of the boats out of Kent Island, the big party boats and stuff out of the island there, do concentrate on the panfish, the spot, the white perch. And how are they doing this time of year?
This time of year, they were doing all right there on the chop tank. I talked to a guy. He was fishing there on chop tank, bottom fishing for perch here about a week and a half ago. And
uh-huh.
He was doing pretty good there on the chop tank. He runs a small little head boat out of Cambridge.
Yeah, out of Cambridge.
Pretty
okay.
good.
A lot of them go out of Kent Island and fish, you know, they fish at those points and stuff around Tillman, and they fish out in front.
Right, right. They go down in the Eastern Bay,
yeah, exactly.
That way.
Yeah, and they seem to do. They seem to be pretty crowded most of the time, anyway.
Right.
But you know, people fish for white perch for one reason, and that's to eat them.
A lot of times, after the people catch their striped bass limits too, they'll go sit on a reef and try to pick up a few white perch.
Sure, sure. They're a lot of fun.
They get done with their striped bass limits early.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Which now, kind of fills out.
Yeah, it fills a day, right?
Right.
Yeah, jerk on one end of the line, waiting for a jerk on the other. After you know, after you catch your striped bass, what are you going to do? You got a couple hours and you
right.
know time to kill. So let's go catch some perch. You know, nothing
right.
wrong with that. But have the spots started? Have you seen any big spot yet?
There's a few. What we're seeing now is in the pound nets. We did go out. I went out with the crew on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
gill netting on the chop tank, and we picked up some decent spot. Not a whole lot of them, but they were nice size spot.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a croaker run this year, by the way?
The croaker are further south right now. I mean, they're down Point Lookout, and they're up the mouth of the chop tank.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't really made their way up. There's a few there at the Bill Burton Fishing Pier.
That's another fish that kind of tends to run in cycles. I mean, I remember a few years
right.
back they were in here big and strong, and everybody was talking about the croaker hardhead run, and they've kind of waned over the last couple of years, haven't they?
Well, the size of them has gone down, but there's still a good number of them around.
Plenty of them here.
They're not catching a lot of the 18 to 19 inch ones that they were catching there for a while.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah,
the size has gone down a little bit, but there's still plenty out there to catch.
What I'm going to guess that next to striped bass, that white perch is probably pretty high up there on the fishing challenge as far as numbers, people that catch the white perch. tend to get Citation white perch. What is the size for the Citation for the Maryland Fishing Challenge for the Angler's Award?
12 inches.
So that's fairly attainable. It's probably one of the easiest categories to catch. Is that, am I right or wrong on that?
Probably, that's probably right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
one of the easiest ones to catch.
Yeah.
Along with the bluegills at some of the nice size panfish that they're catching.
Sure, the panfish. I mean, and they're called panfish for a reason because fill in the blank, Butch.
Okay. They fry real good.
They fry real good. Exactly right. What's your favorite recipe for the white perch?
I fillet them and roll them in a little French's mustard to get a good coating on them with French's mustard, and then roll them, put them in some House of Archery seafood breader with some Cajun seasoning in it, and deep fry them.
Oh, man. So you coat them with yellow mustard.
Right, French's mustard.
French's mustard, yellow mustard.
Right.
And then they're dripping with mustard. Then you drop them, get a good coating on them.
And then you
bread them up with the House of Autry.
House of Autry with some Cajun seasoning in it. And then deep fry them.
Man, you're making me hungry. Fish potato chips.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, they are good. No question about it.
I do the same thing with catfish.
Catfish. Yeah. Right. Did I ever tell you my method for skinning catfish?
No.
It makes it easy?
I just fillet them like normal.
Yeah. A lot of people like to skin them.
Right.
You know, first. Just scald them. Just take them in as hot a water you can get in your sink. It doesn't have to be boiling or anything like that. Just hot tap water. Scald them. They die quickly. I mean, immediately. And it loosens the skin up on them. And you can just peel them like a banana.
Never tried that.
Well, you try it next time you get some catfish. And let me know how that works out.
Okay.
I mean, they're still slimy as usual. But, you know, it as far as loosening the skin up on them, It's like what do they call it? Blanching a tomato. You know, when you drop a tomato in the boiling water for a few seconds to peel the skin off of it.
Right.
Same thing with a catfish. So,
I'll try that.
Yeah, you try that. Hey, which
will it work on eels?
Huh?
Will it work on eels?
Yes. Yeah, it'll work on eels. Yeah, sure will. But you let me know on that. That's one fish I've never eaten yet, and that's an eel. So. But I plan on it before I exit to do that. So, all right, look, we're going to take a little break, Butch. We'll call you back. We'll come right back to you. Stay on the line and just hang there with us, and we'll be good. Okay?
All right.
Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That's where you'll find Clyde Sports Shop. If you need fresh fishing line to catch white perch or striped bass or bluegills or any other kind of fish, well, you just take your empty spool right in there and you say, I want you to fill this up with the best line you got, and they'll take care of that for you. They'll wind that fresh line on your spool. I mean, maybe you've been fishing around rocks and piers and things like that. You got to change that line out when you're fishing in that structure just probably twice a year. But if you're just a regular guy and you just want to go fishing, just go fishing. Just enjoy enjoy your time out there. But keep in mind that if you catch the big one, it's going to break the line if you haven't freshened the line and changed it out, at least for a year or two. So go get fresh line. If you break break your rod tip or you knock a guide off, you know, something happens. Maybe the kid. Well, you can blame it on the kid, slams the rod tip in the car door or something like that, or, you know, bends it and you're going down through the woods or something fishing, you snaps the tip off of it. Well, take it into Clyde Sports Shop. They'll replace the tip, replace the guide. Any parts fall off your reel accidentally, you know, for some reason, or you get a bunch of sand in there, or you need new lube, or you need a part, Clyde Sports Shop. They'll fix all that stuff. And don't forget, they do the same thing with your firearms, too. They fix firearms, and they fix fishing reels, and they're a full-service deal. You know, it's all about making sure that you're able to continue. And if you need a new one, they can handle that, too. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. All types of services. Rod and reel repair, winding line, gun repair, scope mounting, bore sighting, and they've got it all. Why not give them a call or stop by today? 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. You hear me say that all the time, and I like going there myself. 410-242-6108, 410-242-6108. The fishing hotline, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is 247-3474, 247-FISH.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
Hey, let me tell you about Chesapeake Outdoors. We're talking a lot about the Eastern Shore and the white perch and the access points to the white perch here today. Chesapeake Outdoors would be one of the places you could stop right there on Kent Island to get all your bait, all your tackle, get any particular little fishing lures that you want to get. And, of course, they do have the Bubba Blade knife if you want to fillet and release those white perch. So, where is this wonderful place located? Route 50 East, exit 39B. That's on Kent Island. That's Dominion Road. That's what you want to look for. And you'll find it. You'll see it before you get to the exit. You'll see it on the right-hand side if you're headed east on 50, and then you just take that exit right there. Boom, 39B. You wind around the corner, and you're in the parking lot of Chesapeake Outdoors. Pretty easy to find. Full selection of live bait, frozen bait, rods, reels, and tackle for any fishing application. Firearms and ammunition, and you can get ready for bow season, too, with names like Parker and Matthews. Mission crossbows, Barnett crossbows. They've got custom cut arrows, accessories, and they'll tune your bow, set it up for you. It's Kent Island's largest selection of hunting, fishing, and crabbing supplies, and crabbing supplies they have in abundance. They've got pots for your pier. They've got the crab traps. They've got the trot lines. They've got everything you could need, want, or imagine for crabbing. It's the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. Chesapeake Outdoors. That's Route 50 East, exit 39B on Kent Island. That phone number again, 410-604-2500, 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors.
It's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat motor and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. New this year is an invasive species award for those catching blue catfish, flathead catfish, and northern snakeheads. And check out the new Maryland Youth Fishing Club and the Youth Angler's Log to learn how your youngster can win a guided fishing trip. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Angler Award Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I'm back already. We're with Butch Webb. We're talking about white perch and the some of the species in the Chesapeake Bay. But we're focusing on white perch today. We're talking about different locations and where to catch white perch and what to catch them on. Now, you mentioned the Choptank River, Butch, right?
Right.
Yeah. Have you ever fished? Well, wrong way to quote. What are the chances for catching a nice white perch off the Bill Burton Fishing Pier there between Cambridge and Dorchester? Yeah, across the Choptank River between Talbot and Dorchester County.
It's pretty good. They put a section of reef balls on the Cambridge side of the bridge last year between the fishing pier and the new bridge.
Mm-hmm.
There's some reef balls out there now, so they're adding some structure to it. They, like I said, if you take a small rattle trap or a beetle spin and cast it, run it along those pilings, you have a good chance of catching some decent white perch and bottom fish in there too with blood worms or earthworms or anything like that
mm-hmm.
on the bottom.
Sure. Now, I'm glad you mentioned earthworms, night crawlers, or whatever it might be. I had one of the best days of white perch fishing, actually the best evening white perch fishing ever had. It was a couple of years back. I was fishing on the Choptank River Fishing Pier, which is now called the Bill Burton Fishing Pier. There I came in on the Cambridge side and met a couple guys, and they said, "Hey, why don't you come over here and fish with us?" I said, "All right." So what are you using? "Oh, we're using blood worms. We're using this, we're using that." And, "What are you catching?" "We're catching white perch." So I sat there. I said, "Look, all I got's night crawlers." He said, "Oh, they should, but you might want to buy some blood worms." I said, "Well, I'll stick with my night crawlers." And, boy, I'll tell you what, we caught a lot of white perch that night and some really nice ones. I mean, these fish were 10, 11 inches, pretty much every one of them. And, of course, you know, I didn't have any way to take them, but I gave them to those guys, and they loved them. And we just had a great evening there, and it, you know, got dark and slowed down a little bit, and we could hear the rockfish crashing underneath that bridge. That's pretty exciting when you hear that,
mm-hmm.
hear those rockfish chasing baitfish under that bridge. And, you know, we just had a good time that evening. But that's a good place to take the family right there and, you know, put your bug spray on and make sure you're you got your sunscreen and all that stuff and you're good to go. But if you go down during the day, but boy, in the evening it gets really nice. The crowd kind of levels out and you can pick your spot, and it's a very enjoyable place. And, you know, there's a lot of fishing piers around Maryland that have good access to panfish, and white perch is one of the most preferred species, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
So, right. Now, they're catching a few still down off of the Point Lookout Fishing Pier, too, along with the croakers right now.
Yep, I got you. And another fellow I fished with here right in Baltimore was Tackle Box Tim. Jacob, my grandson, and I went out with Tim, and I know he focuses on white perch. And guess who's on the line, Butch? That would be Tackle Box Tim Sherman.
All right,
hang on. Good morning, Tim. What do you have to add this morning?
Good morning. Al, how are you? Hey, I finally found the white perch in the Patapsco this year.
You finally found him, huh?
First couple of trips were very, very unfruitful, as they would say, as I would say anyway.
Yeah.
No, we went out Tuesday, and some of the places that I fished, the rock piles with extra structure out from them.
Right.
Some pier pilings, and we even found them in Bear Creek pretty good.
Wow, how about that? What do you think of that, Butch?
Yeah, we went up there sampling this year for yellow perch up Patapsco. It was our first year up in there with one of the commercial guys, and he had some nice perch in his net that day we were up there with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We caught a couple of yellow perch in Bear Creek along with the white perch.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Now, Tim, I know what you use. You use the
tandem rig 2-inch finesse fish.
Finesse fish, the finesse fish. Yeah, who makes that? Yeah, who makes those? The finesse fish.
Lunker City makes them.
Lunker City, same people that make the Sluggo, right?
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You can use your little any crappy minnows. The funny thing about it is I don't have very much luck out there on twister tails. They prefer the skinny tailed minnow baits.
Okay. All right.
We did catch a couple on, as Bruce mentioned, around the Choptank River Bridge. We caught a couple on rattle traps and crankbaits mm-hmm. Tuesday.
Okay. So you guys have mentioned a rattle trap, any of the little rattling baits, and there's a number of sizes to those rattle traps. You're talking about the little small ones, aren't you, Butch?
Yes, the 1/8 ounce.
Eighth ounce, yeah, okay. I thought so.
We were mixing in a quarter ounce for trying to catch some safe rockfish around, and we caught a 10-inch white perch on the quarter ounce.
Wow, that's nice.
Right.
That's
yeah.
nice. But Tim and I and Jacob, as I mentioned, we got to go out one time on the at Fort McHenry and fished a riprap around Fort McHenry for the white perch and picked up just about it. That was later in the year, wasn't it, Tim?
That was I believe it was August time frame.
Yeah, it was later in the year, and Jacob was there. He was a couple of years ago, and we caught white perch. We caught some little tiny baby rockfish. We caught some little tiny bluefish, if I recall.
Yeah, I think there were a few in there also. I haven't seen any of those yet.
Yeah, well, that's usually a little later in the year up in that area. But nothing, no keepers as far as the bluefish were concerned. But the white perch were great, and we caught some big slabs. I mean, there were some nice perch there, too. I still have those pictures. So, yeah, I think I wrote a little thing on the angler's log for that, too. And
yes, you did. I appreciated that.
Yeah, we caught those little finesse fish. They have one that's called firecracker or something like that. It was a red, white, and blue, and fishing out in Fort McHenry, it was kind of appropriate.
Yes, it was.
that's what they were hitting on.
This year, the color, it's not chartreuse. It's just a flat yellow is what they wanted this last time out.
Flat yellow.
I can't explain it. Just not chartreuse, not a greenish, it was yellow.
Well, Butch and Tim, both of you guys remember when the Mr. Twister Tails first came out, they had three colors. They had black, white, and yellow.
Right.
And the yellow was, I mean, that was the rage at that point. And then we went through in the fishing world, we went through the year or two of the color selector. Remember the graph you used to get?
Oh, yeah. A few friends of mine bought that.
Yeah.
It ended up being blue.
Yeah. Funny. Yeah. But the color selector, I mean, you would, I can't remember how you would work that. Would you lower something down into the water?
Some sort of little probe that you put in the water and it would come back and
Tell you what color lure the fish were going to bite that day. You know, the fish didn't always agree with the color selector for some reason. But we went through that. And then we went through the Berkley, what was the spray they came out with, the spray on your bait, the beginning of the spray on your bait scent stuff. But, you know, there's always something out there to catch as fishermen. But, Butch, I think you would agree that you've been fishing for white perch for a long, long time, correct?
For 20-something years.
Okay, so tell me what the three best baits are that you use.
Well, the bottom rigs with the live bait is probably your best bet, along with the with the earthworms and bloodworms and stuff.
Earthworms, bloodworms. What about grass shrimp?
And we use grass shrimp more during the spring spawn and run in the heads of the creeks.
Okay. What about the unknown bait clam snouts?
I've never used them.
Okay.
Mainly because I'd rather not deal with the mess.
Okay. How about peeler crab?
I have used peeler. You're talking about getting a better grade of perch on a bigger piece of bait.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now see, anybody wants to invest in peelers, you can get. I think somebody told me one time you can get something like two dozen baits out of a peeler. I don't know. How about you, Tim? You don't use bait, do you?
No, I don't use bait, but when I go down and fish with our good friend Chuck Prawl, the peeler crabs is all he uses.
For white perch?
And he uses peeler crab because when he's bottom fishing, he's into the croakers and the perch, and the white perch, he eat it just as good as the croakers do. But he gets a good 10 baits out of a piece of peeler crab.
Yeah.
He's got the apron and all the little sections that you would eat if it was a real crab.
Yeah.
You know, if you were having a crab feast. So, peeler crab is a good deal for white perch.
I think it is. I think, and you can catch just about anything else on it, too.
Absolutely.
Anything else that bites. So, yeah, there's a wide selection of baits. They'll eat a lot of things. And so, you know, but I never could figure out the clam snouts. I don't even know what eats them. I have no clue. But they sell the heck out of them for bait for some reason.
I have not heard of folks using clam snouts for quite a while.
Well,
I don't know if they're readily available.
With the downturn in the clam market, I'm sure they're not as popular as they once were. But that what it was at one time they were the cheapest bait you could buy.
Right.
Bloodworms right now bumping, what, $11, $12 a dozen? Something like that. Yeah, night crawlers are $253. So, you know, it's but
that's why I fish artificial.
I know. I understand.
No, it's because it's my style of fishing, and being up on the front deck with the trolling motor, I don't have time to be, you know, cutting the bait, putting bait on the hooks for people with me. So it's my style better.
Well, we have to wipe our feet before we get on your boat anyway, Tim. So you wouldn't dare to have a box of earthworms on there, would you?
No, actually, my boat is not as pristine as people think it is.
All right, okay. All right, Tim, we're going to have to let you go. We appreciate you joining in here this morning and helping out with fishing tips and techniques on white perch. We're glad you did. And Butch, you hang on there. We got to take a break to do the Wall Street Journal report and some other stuff, and we'll be right back after this.
Fine weather in the forecast here through the weekend. Generous sunshine here for this Saturday as our highs climb into the mid-80s. Clear skies tonight, lows in the mid-60s. More sunshine tomorrow. Tomorrow's high mid-80s. Make it three in a row Monday. Sunshine mid-80s. Richard Wedding at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. No one likes getting criticized at work, but it can provide a chance for you to show that you can handle negative feedback. It's a skill that requires practice, humility, and a sizable dose of self-awareness. Studies show that learning from criticism fuels creativity at work and helps the free flow of valuable communication. Tempering an emotional response can be hard, especially if you're taken by surprise and dealing with a flood of adrenaline and panic. If tears well up or you feel yourself becoming defensive, ask to wait 24 hours before responding. Say, "Thank you for the feedback. What I'd like to do is think about it." Then come back with questions. Ask for specific examples using questions that begin with what. Why questions tend to breed resentment. Another way to deal with criticism is to write it down. Then change your thinking by eliminating distorted thoughts. The goal is to get the feedback into the right-sized box as a critique of specific aspects of your current work performance. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Attention diabetics. Is your blood sugar out of control? Nobedis may help dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedis, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day. I love Nobedis because it's an all-natural product, and it works.
While Nobedis isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, it's helped lower many diabetics' blood sugar. Call now for two free bottles. Just pay shipping and handling. Call 800-551-9026. That's 800-551-9026.
What if you could reverse diabetes? Well, there's a special free video you need to watch. Diabetic11.com. Diabetic11.com is a natural, drug-free approach to reversing diabetes with remarkable results in as little as 4 weeks. In this free video, Diabetic11.com gives three specific actions to get your blood sugar under control. And the best part is the main ingredient is a common spice found in most kitchens. Watch the free video for yourself right now at diabetic11.com. That's diabetic.
For great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, hey, it's Fish Bones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end, hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island, go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. Custom-tied bucktails and trolling lures for rockfish, and all you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fish Bones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fish Bones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back with, what is that?
Crab cakes and rockfish too.
Really? That's in my show? Oh, yeah, that's Waterman by Bird Dog and the, you know those guys, don't you, Butch?
Bird Dog and Road Kings.
Yeah, Bird Dog and Road Kings, yeah. Yeah, those Bird Dog Wheeler. Those guys are a trip. All right, yep. Where were we? We were talking about white perch fishing, the different types of baits. You named a couple of spots. Give us an overall kind of a life biology of the white perch. I mean, where do they start? Where, you know, how big do they grow? What's their life cycle about, Butch, a little bit?
Well, the white perch move in to spawn anywhere from April through June to into low salinity waters, like the upper part of the river's tributaries.
Right.
And they'll release the females will release anywhere between 50 to 150,000 eggs. Even though they may not do it all at once, they may be a protracted spawn where it's spread out over a few days. And ovulation occurs over a period of about 10 to 21 days. The eggs are generally demersal in still water, like up in the reservoirs.
Right.
They're attached to each other and they'll sit in the spots. But other, like out in the rivers, they're pelagic, so they're free-flowing
right.
up and down through the rivers. And once they're hatched out, the juveniles will use those inshore areas of the estuaries and the creeks for the first summer and fall. And the adults will move out and inhabit open waters closer to shore,
mm-hmm.
but and frequent different structures and stuff.
What's your growth rate like?
It's fairly slow.
Really? So, how long does it take the white perch to get to 10 inches?
From 8 to 10 years.
So, really?
Yeah, they're slow, and some tributaries are slower than others.
Okay.
They grow really a little faster down in the Nanticoke than they do in the Choptank, and it's basically because of the food supplies.
Okay. So, what about the reservoirs? I know that's not necessarily your area, but what about the reservoirs? I mean, there seems to be abundant food sources in some of the reservoirs, and you see these fish in the springtime. You'll be fishing, you'll see this big cloud of white perch just going by along the edge of along the shoreline, and it's amazing to see how big some of those schools are. But a lot of guys focus on those perch with inline spinners. Something like an Erie Deary or something like that with a piece of nightcrawler on it, and they just they just drag them behind a boat and hook up on the white perch and tend to catch some pretty nice fish that way. Bigger bait, bigger fish, as you said.
Right.
But same growth rate, or is it basically all dependent? Is it all food dependent?
It's all food dependent, probably.
Oh, okay.
I would say in the reservoirs like that, they have a chance of being over. Populated, so you may get some stunning.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, well, of course, in some of the reservoirs, you've got big predatory fish too. We'll
right.
get into that in a minute. I mean, you got largemouth and smallmouth bass. In some of the reservoirs, you have like Loch Raven, you have northern pike. In Liberty, you have some striped bass. So there can be some predation on those fish. But let's talk about some of the studies. Now, you also do catfish, right?
Right.
All right. So white perch, from what I'm understanding, is one of the preferred species that these invasive blue catfish are tending on targeting. Is that right?
That's what some of the feeding studies of the flatheads, mainly up on the Susquehanna, their belly contents of some of them had the white perch in them.
Okay.
And also mostly what they're feeding on is the small gizzard shad.
The gizzard shad.
Right mm-hmm. there at the base of the dam.
Right.
and then blue catfish over on the Potomac are eating the same thing, gizzard shad and some white perch.
White perch. Okay. Now let me ask you, if we go out and we catch spot and then we turn around and use them for bait for striped bass, some people use white perch for bait. Tell me the legality of all that. Are you allowed to do that? I mean, tell me about what that's what that whole
progression. There is no recreational size limit on white perch.
No recreational size limit. Okay.
So if you're,
and no limit.
Them, right. You can use them for bait.
Okay. So, go ahead.
Like I said, there's no crew limit, and there's no size limit. So there's a commercial size limit of 8 inches, but no recreational size limit.
Okay, all right. So if you don't catch a spot and you catch a couple small white perch, there's no reason you can't use them to live line with for striped bass, and there's no reason why you can't use them for catfish if you want to focus on catfish. Is
right,
that
if you want to chunk them up and use them for cut bait.
Yeah, there's nothing like good fresh bait for catfish. I mean, people
right.
people want to use something stinky and dead and nasty and rotten, and you know that might attract a fish to the odor. But in all reality, they want the freshest bait they can find.
Right.
You know they're.
That's true.
I mean, seriously. I mean, you're going to get some. You're going to get a nice fresh fish fillet out of the refrigerator, or are you going to search around in the garbage after a couple of days and see what's left? You know. I try to make it pretty relatable. You know what I mean?
All right. So. They really don't prefer anything rotten. If they can get it fresh, they must prefer it fresh.
Exactly.
Flatheads pretty much prefer their bait live. So.
Yeah. So that makes sense. So okay, let's move into that a little bit since we're talking about catfish. Where are we size-wise on the catfish, on the flatheads in the Susquehanna? And that's primarily where they're found, is it not, in the Susquehanna?
Up in the Susquehanna, yeah. They're pretty decent size right now. I mean, there's guys fishing for them in the pool below Conowingo Dam that are catching in the upper 45 pounds.
45-pound flatheads.
Right. On artificial baits.
45-pound catfish on artificial baits. Flatheads.
Decent ones. And the commercial guys have been reporting a lot more in their nets further downstream.
Really? And they are top-tier predator. That's not good for the upper Susquehanna, is it?
It's not good for gizzard shad if you're a gizzard shad.
Well, if you're a gizzard shad, yeah. I mean, what kind of a life do you have if you're a gizzard shad anyway? I mean, really, what commercial value or what recreational value does a gizzard shad have?
Good commercial value. You know, it's actually getting better commercially for the. They're shipping them all down to Louisiana for crawfish bait.
Crawfish bait.
Right.
Okay, that's very interesting. Very interesting. That's another whole world down there in Louisiana as far as their fishing and commercial crawfish and blue crab and alligators and all that other stuff. I mean, it's fascinating to me to live that lifestyle down there. I had a chance to talk to what's the guy on Swamp People, Troy. What's his last name? Anyway, had a chance to speak to him, and I said, "Do you actually go blue crab, you know, crabbing?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, we do a lot of blue crab." And I said, "And I understand you pretty much own the crawfish market in Louisiana." And he just smiled. I had heard that. I mean, Troy Landry, the Landry family has a very, very wide net when it comes to the crawfish business in Louisiana. So it's pretty interesting. You know, you look at this guy and you go, Mr. Backwoods. But when you know how deep his tendrils run, it's pretty fascinating when you learn more about somebody and you have a chance to talk to him. So. But I digress. We're talking about white perch. Which, what else you want to tell us about white perch? You want to tell us anything about the angler's log? Are you guys doing any kind of surveys on white perch? I mean, not the angler's log, but the volunteer survey. Are you doing anything with the white perch per se?
Not anything per se with that right now. Our sampling season generally runs from December through to April during the main spawning run.
Right. But I mean you're not doing a recreational angler type of part of the survey the volunteer surveys on white perch. Okay.
No.
I mean like they do with blue crab and other species.
No, we have one for yellow perch.
What's the angler's log showing? Are the guys starting to catch some perch? On the angler's log? Are they noting
white perch.
It? Yeah, are they noting
yeah,
it?
They're picking some up.
Okay.
And they're few and far between. They'll start getting a little better later on here during the summer.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a great summer panfish to focus on. That's for sure. No question.
Like later around like August and
right
September, so is when they'll really start picking up.
And have you had a chance to take a look at the new public fishing access interactive map?
A little bit. I looked at it to see if some of the sites that we've tried to get put on there were on there, but.
Okay.
There were some for yellow perch that haven't made it onto the list because of the, you have problems with people parking on the side of the road.
The highways
doesn't want the
I'd heard
vehicles
that.
On the side of the road.
Sure. All right, hold on here. You got a guest. We got a caller on the other line. Good morning, Dale. How are you? Dale?
Hello, Alan?
Yeah, Dale, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm
what's
here.
Up?
Hey, Butch, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Just general, Butch, overall status of white perch stocks. I mean, they're so widespread, it's kind of hard to tell if things are up or things are down. But generally speaking, it seems like stocks are stable and there's no pronounced highs or lows. What are you all seeing?
Well, right now, we're seeing a slow increase in the trend as far as upper bay white perch from a model from our trawl survey, showing an upswing in the population.
That's a good thing.
It was down in the 2008, and so in 2009 it started going back up. In 2010 it was peaking pretty good, and then it dropped off again in 2011, 2012, but now it's back on the upswing again.
Good.
What about some of the other areas, Butch? I know you don't intentionally sample some of the other areas, but say like the Nanticoke and Potomac, places like that.
Nanticoke's still doing real good. There's some real nice perch down that way, and they seem to be pretty stable down that way, if not increasing.
Good.
I know a lot of people, Alan, they have good fishing one day, and then it's poor the next, but that's just the general nature of the white perch. They're so widespread, and they move around.
I'll say this. I've been saying this for 25 years, and it's a very simple tenet. Fish swim.
Yeah.
Right. they're not where they're supposed to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, fellas, look, hang on there, Butch and Dale. Thank you for your question. We're on a break here. We've got to get this break in before the end of the show. So let us do that, and then Butch will come back and wrap it up rather quickly here at the end. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Hey. Let's see. I'm sorry. It's time for the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. That's old Diamond Jim. He's out there tagged rockfish worth $10,000, and he's swimming in the Chesapeake Bay just waiting to take your bait. Now, next week, he'll be worth $20,000. Diamond Jim has lots, so wait till the 4th. Wait till a free fishing day, then go out and catch a $20,000 rockfish. I like that. 4th of July is a free fishing day, by the way. Diamond Jim is swimming into Chesapeake Bay just waiting to take your bait. He has lots of imposters out there, too, but they're even worth $500. You catch a rockfish with a bright green tag, call that number on the tag. You might just have captured a $10,000 or $20,000 prize. And if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland Citation-sized fish or crab, certify your catch. You're in as part of the fishing challenge. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify for the Angler's Award. You could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, and prizes from sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. So stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2014 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program, the Angler's Award. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky? Hey, I want to tell you one more time about Clyde Sports Shop. Anything you need for fishing or hunting, any kind of bait or tackle, any kind of guns, ammunition for home protection, hunting, shooting sports, you name it, Clyde Sports Shop has it. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Their fishing hotline, 247-FISH, 24/7, 365. Find out where the fish are biting near you. It's Clyde Sports Shop. ClydeSports.com is the website. And if you're on the Eastern Shore, the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors, located just off Route 50 East at Exit 39B on Kent Island, Maryland, not too far across the Bay Bridge. Kent Island's largest selection of hunting, fishing, and crabbing supplies. They've got everything you need. Rods, reels, and tackle, live and frozen bait, firearms and ammunition, bows and crossbows, and a great staff to help you find what you need. They even have the Bubba Blade knives for catching or for filleting and releasing those fish that you catch. Don't forget, it's Chesapeake Outdoors, 410-604-2500, 604-2500. $2,500 for Chesapeake Outdoors.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, Butch, we want to thank you for joining us this morning and talking about white perch.
You're welcome.
Yes,
anytime.
Sir. All right, buddy. Maybe we'll get to do. Maybe we'll get to go shoot a couple rabbits this year.
All right.
All right,
okay.
Man. Let me know. And stay in touch, and we appreciate you joining us this morning here on the Outdoors and Radio Show. Butch Webb, ladies and gentlemen, the resident species project manager for Chesapeake Bay, deals with white perch, yellow perch, and catfish, and we had a